The head of Amtrak believes ridership will return as the pandemic eases, and he wants to be ready when it does. CEO William Flynn tells the Associated Press the National Passenger Railroad wants to replace its nearly half-century-old fleet with state-of-the-art trains, trains that can operate on electricity or diesel fuel. There's a more than $7 billion price tag on this, and the funding has to be approved by Congress. But Flynn is optimistic. He tells AP he's confident that will happen. Here and Now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan joins us now to talk about Amtrak and other transportation news. Hi, Seth.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Let's start with Amtrak ridership. Where was it before the pandemic, and how much did it decline in the last year and a half?
Well, it was at multi-year highs before the pandemic. Now, the history of rail in the country is that, you know, we peaked many decades ago. But Amtrak had been making an impressive comeback, particularly along the Northeast Corridor. It was doing very well. And throughout other parts of the country, Amtrak had cut service, less profitable service. But yeah, it was getting not only ridership, but also getting on its financial footing. But then, as you would expect, that basically fell apart during the pandemic. Just as people stopped traveling by plane, they stopped traveling by train. And Amtrak has depended on government help to get it through the pandemic. Now it thinks that it sees those green shoots, as we hear in other parts of the economy, and thinks it's worth making this investment.
So it is starting to come back, I guess. Is there enough of a bump to believe, as William Flynn does, that Amtrak can get back to those high levels of ridership you talk about pre-pandemic?
Well, the theory there seems to be sort of like the old Field of Dreams movie, build it and they will come, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what Amtrak is trying to do here. It basically says, look, if we can have more convenient service, then we will have people using that service. Amtrak has basically said, wherever we can provide what people want, we've been able to get them to take advantage of it. They just feel that there have been too many obstacles to doing that, and that in turn is why not more people have ridden. They have some successful corridors. I mentioned the Northeast, other places too, where people do take advantage when the trains run where people want to run and when they run in convenient schedules. And Amtrak says it needs this investment to be able to do more of that.
Amtrak's fleet is old. Let's call it very old. Does it need to be replaced almost regardless of ridership?
Yeah, we're talking about some of its equipment that's like a half century old, goes back to the beginning of Amtrak. Of course, some is a lot newer than that. The thing is, though, that a lot of the track that Amtrak runs on isn't Amtrak's own track. There's a lot else that goes into the modernization of a railroad. So when you have twisty tracks, when you have tracks that aren't electrified, like let's say a lot of tracks over in Europe are, there's only so much you can do with the trains themselves in terms of, let's say, picking up speed. But certainly replacing the trains goes part of the way toward getting Amtrak to where it wants to be.
Let's elevate this conversation a bit and talk about the airlines. Delta is adding 36 planes to its fleet. I don't know if that's a big number or not, but what's behind that decision?
Well, it depends compared to what, right? It's a lot of planes, not as many as some other airlines. United, for example, recently said it's ordering hundreds of brand new planes, whereas in Delta's case, these are slightly older generation planes in many cases than what United's ordering. That's Delta's history, by the way. It likes to pick up those slightly older aircraft that are slightly cheaper to buy, even if they might require, let's say, a little more fuel. Delta retired so many planes during the pandemic that it actually now doesn't have enough of some of the planes that it needs to meet this surging passenger demand. So it thinks that this order will get it along the road toward or maybe back up in the air, to pick up on your analogy, to be able to meet that travel demand that does exist now.
So a lot of activity in kind of replenishing fleets and all that. Those are the big airlines, but there are these newer, smaller carriers that I understand are very active right now. Start with Porter Airlines and what they're doing. This is a Canadian-based company, right?
This is a Canadian airline, not a brand new airline, but one that basically hasn't been flying during the pandemic. It generally has flown smaller turboprop planes from an island airport off the city of Toronto. So people in the U.S. Northeast might be familiar with it because it does fly to some cities there, but it has now ordered dozens of Brazilian airplanes. They're called Embraers 195s. It's a new generation of that plane that's basically going to be able to fly to anywhere in the U.S. And so it has put out a route map suggesting that it has big ambitions and that more of us are going to know Porter Airlines in the coming years.
We've just got a little bit of time left. We just had the 4th of July holiday. It was a very different Independence Day this year. We're into summer travel. What are you seeing in terms of activity?
Road travel is basically back to pre-pandemic levels. If you look at data from firms like Arrivalist, they check GPS data. Air travel, not quite there, but getting back there. And Memorial Day, the kind of country kind of unofficially opened. And July 4th, back to where it was before the pandemic, at least on the roads.
Seth Kaplan is Here and Now transportation analyst. Seth, thanks.
Thanks, Don.